Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Talk is Jericho.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the pod of thunder and rock and roll, and guess what I've got for you today? It's special. It's monumental. It's the entire inner circle here for the first time ever on Talk is Jericho to break down so many things. The stadium stampede from the Double or Nothing pay-per-view, how the inner circle came together, how the stadium stampede came together, how we put it together on Thursday night, filmed it on Friday. Something that's never been done in wrestling before, and we made big history because of it. So Sammy Guevara, Jake Hager, Santana, and Ortiz are going to be joining me here, the whole inner circle. We're really excited about that. Thank you for being here. Thank you for watching the pay-per-view. You can still watch the replay if you haven't seen the Stadium Stampede. It's one of the best things I've ever been involved with. And you can also watch the replay of the high school reunion episode of the Saturday Night Special. That was on last Saturday night. My longtime friends Spewy and Rybo joined me, and we relived all kinds of stupid stories from our high school days. We had a blast. It's on YouTube and on Facebook if you weren't able to catch it live. And the Saturday Night Special will be back this Saturday. Come hang out with me, 9 p.m. Eastern, on Facebook Live and my official YouTube channel. Just search Chris Jericho, and you'll find me and the show. I've got a whole bunch more stories. I'll be answering more of your questions live. It's probably just a pure Q&A. This week. Let's do that. So we'll do some sing-alongs and just answer all your questions this Saturday. That's the gimmick for this week. All starts 9 p.m. Eastern on Facebook Live or on my official Chris Jericho YouTube channel. All right, the inner circle is waiting. But before we get to them, I got one more quick thank you to Diamond Dallas Page and DDPY. I can't say enough about Diamond Dallas Page and his amazing yoga program. It's not just your mama's yoga, that's for sure. It's a whole lifestyle. It's a whole way of life, a whole mindset. And Dallas is so sure you'll love his life-changing program that he's given you a chance to try it for free for 7 days. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho and get your free trial started. This is the perfect time for this. I mean, we're still kind of under lockdown. More importantly, gyms are just opening up. And if you don't feel right in going out into a gym, it's the perfect time to do DDPY. And you don't have to do it at home. You can go outside into a park and do it. I've done it outside many times, wherever you want to do it. You want to do it in your bedroom or in your living room or at your friend's house or wherever it may be. You can literally do this anywhere. So I want you to give it a try, because DDPY will not only help your physical health, but it's going to help your mental health, helps clear your mind in this crazy world that we're living in right now. So check it out. Get on the path to healthy living today. Download the DDPY app and get started for free. That's what DDP is willing to do for you. Now, just go give it a try. There's no more excuses. This will help you. It's got the Chris Jericho stamp of approval. Go check it out and try it now. Well, we're just going to get started right now. This is great because we have all the inner circle here talking, hanging out. And it took us about 17 and a half minutes to get us all up and running. But we're not technical wizards. And now Jake's got his mic off, I think. Can you hear us, Jake?
Yeah, I was just muting it because they were running around. Sorry.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so yeah, if your kids are running around, stick it on the mute. Cool.
Yeah.
So we wanted to get on today, and we're on Zoom, but this is just for Talk is Jericho. To talk about, I want to talk about a couple of things. I want to talk about the Stadium Stampede match, which a lot of people are saying is one of the best matches ever in the history of the business. And also talk about kind of the inner circle and how all of this came to be and all of this came about. So I'll just start. The moment that I came to AEW, the idea was for me to have a faction. Tony Khan really wanted that and thought it was a good idea. And I've never had a faction before. I've had tag team partners and I've had, you know, this, that, another thing, but kind of being the leader of a faction kind of stood out to me. So I thought it was a good idea. So then we have to figure out who are we going to get involved in this and throw around different ideas and come up with kind of this whole amazing group that we have. So I guess let's just kind of go through. Sammy, how did you find out about the Inner Circle and that you're going to be a part of it?
It was probably like a All Out weekend. It was Nick Jackson. He's like, you know, you're going to be in this group. And I'm like, I thought he was ribbing me.
Right.
I'm like, what group? He's like, you're going to be in a big faction with Jericho. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And yeah, so I heard just a little bit of talk about that, but it's wrestling, so you don't know anything until it actually happens. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, and then when it finally, that day, it was like, all right, here's what's happening at the end of the show on the first episode of Dynamite. It's like, whoa, this is a real thing.
Well, it's funny because, like we mentioned, I saw you on an NWA show. I watched Cody versus Aldis. Nick Aldis.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I just was watching, and I saw you on it, and I text Tony and Cody. I said, this Sammy Guevara guy, we should bring him in. So it was kind of right from the start that I kind of had an eye on you. But the first choice, I can't even remember who the first choice of the different guys were. But I know at one point I was like, I'd like to have MJF. And they said, well, he's going to do his own thing. And I think, well, then I think Sammy's kind of the same idea. I wanted a young, kind of upcoming, charismatic guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then I wanted a tag team. And one of the ideas that was suggested was Pentagon and Phoenix. And I said, it's too gimmicky. I don't want gimmicks. And then right after that, it was, what about LAX at the time, Santana Ortiz? And we had met briefly. You were on the first cruise, but I didn't really know you guys and didn't really know much about you and all that other stuff. So how did you guys hear about the Inner Circle?
Yeah, like we had started talking with Cody and the Bucks a while back, maybe like, I mean, we got really cool on the first cruise and stuff like that. And you know, working with each other, and we noticed we all had a chemistry together. And yeah, like a little while later, you know, they contacted us asking, you know, when our time was up with Impact and stuff like that. And they pretty much threw at us what that huge idea was, and that we were going to be a part of a group with you. And you know, we were going to be doing this, what we're doing now. And you know, we, Ortiz and I, we've said this before, but we've bonded and became pretty much a tag team after reading Lion's Tale.
And really?
Yeah. And that was the start of it. Ortiz had read it first, and then we were working together at the time. And he was like, yo, check this out, read this. And I read it. And I mean, we were like, this is the blueprint. This is the what we felt we needed to follow to get to where we wanted to get to. And yeah, so the fact that when they came to us and they threw that idea, and we were like blown away. We were like, holy shit, this is awesome stuff. You know what I mean? And just especially like reading all the stories and, you know, watching your whole come up and just respecting your whole career. So it was pretty good stuff.
Yeah, we wanted to be a journeyman and do it all, wrestle everywhere before we signed with a big company. And it made the decision real easy for us to come to AEW. Plus the tag team division is stacked. So we were like, yeah, we want to wrestle the best in the world so we could become the best in the world. So yeah, the rest is history.
And like you said, it just fit for me too. Because like I said, right from the start, you guys just look like, because I didn't know what I envisioned. I just envisioned a tag team, a young upstart, and then just a big killer. And when I saw you guys, I was like, and then from the cruise too, but these guys just look like thugs. I think the first time I was like, he's a street thug, he's a ruffian, and that kind of fit the look of what I was thinking. And then the final ingredient was of course Jake, who we had worked together many times in the WWE, but we, you know, as you do in wrestling, kind of lose touch. But what really kind of got you in my brain again is that we were both training with Josh Rafferty at Dave Batista's gym, his MMA gym.
And that's when you started getting into Bellator. And I was like, that's really cool. Because I think I remember even asking you, do you still wrestle? Are you thinking about wrestling? Are you thinking about getting back into the business? Because we talked about it at the gym, right? Right, Jake?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it was funny because my journey to AEW kind of started when I was really not 1 foot out of pro wrestling, but my bigger focus was on MMA at the time. I had the first fight in January of 19. And, you know, throughout all the interviews with that, I kind of felt like AEW was coming around. And so I would always want to, like, tease it with interviews. And then after the second fight, which was in May of 2019, right before Double or Nothing, you know, we just got done with the fight and we threw a bunch of teasers out there with some interviews. And then that's where we ran into each other at Dave's gym. And we really started like butting heads about it.
Yeah. And it was interesting because one of the ideas was they wanted to have a guy called Anthony Gogo, who I think is signed with us now. I think he's a boxer from the UK. Obviously, he's stuck in the UK right now. But they were saying, what do you think of this Anthony Gogo guy? And I said, well, he's never wrestled. And I said, how tall is he? And they said they wanted him. He was like 5'11" or whatever. I said, no, I need a big guy. And I got the guy. And I approached Tony Khan. And the thing about Tony is he is beyond a fan. He's very smart. He's very, as we all know, he's very almost bullish. He knows what he wants. And he also knows his guys. I said, what do you think of, at the time, you know, Swagger? And he's like, I always loved Jack Swagger. I always thought he was great. And I said, I think I can get him. He's the guy. And lo and behold, you guys worked it out and you can still fight in Bellator. And when, you know, when the COVID is done, you will fight in Bellator again. But in the meantime, your career is completely, you know, skyrocketed as a result too. So it was a win-win for everybody.
It changed my life, no doubt about it. Still remember it.
And then a thing I like about the Inner Circle now is remember the very first week when we had our big run in, actually when Jake came out, it was the second week. We just look cool. Like nobody dresses the same, but everybody's got a certain vibe to them. Like I just look at pictures, go, that's a cool looking group of guys, you know what I mean? And we look good, but we also look hard. There's a little bit of craziness in there. I think that's another reason why it works, because from an aesthetic standpoint, even though we all come from different places, we really do fit together.
It's definitely very cool to see where we were back in October and to see where we are now, because we definitely have like vibed together and like really gotten to know each other, got to know each other's strengths and like really, really become close, I feel like.
No, I agree. Do you feel the same way, Santana?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like just the way all of our personalities molded together as time went on, and how we all maintained our individuality, but also with the Inner Circle, we're like a well-oiled machine, and we're all on the same page. So it's awesome, like you said, to see the pictures from when we started to now, and just go back and watch the first episode and watch through all the way to now. It's pretty dope stuff to see happen in front of your eyes.
How's it for you, Sammy? Like, you know, Santana Ortiz had been in Impact and kind of been in Ring of Honor and around. And of course, Jake had been in WWE as I had all around the world. You were coming in just as a very young guy to the business. Was it kind of intimidating at the start to be in AEW and be with us, or were you ready for it?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, you never know until you get the opportunity. And I remember, yeah, like you said, like Santana Ortiz and Impact, Jake Hager, you, and I'm like the youngest one there, the least experienced. And so I felt like I had some big shoes to fill. And that just made me want to work even harder. Every match that I was in, I'm like, all right, I'm in this badass group. Like, I got to show out, you know? Mm-hmm. So hopefully I'm doing the job for you guys.
The first thing I said is like, you got to get rid of that stupid panda head.
you mean this panda head right there?
Yeah, that's the one. How about this? You guys remember this in DC? The first night we were doing, we were gonna have our big thing, and Jake was gonna remember how we couldn't find Santana and Ortiz. And just so you guys know, I was like, these motherfuckers are pulling a double cross on me. Did they sign with Vince? And we were even like, we got to get, like, I said, is Penta and Phoenix around? Where are they? So what happened that night? You guys, we couldn't find anywhere.
So the photography guys and the guys that shoot a lot of the, you know, the ID stuff and stuff like that, they saw us in the locker room and we weren't doing anything. I think everyone took a break from putting stuff together. And they were like, hey, if you guys are free, we need pictures of you guys and some ID stuff. So we're like, all right, we're not doing anything. So we left with them. And little did we know that where they were set up was on the other side of the arena. So, you know, we're ready in gear. We're ready to go. And none of us had our phones on us or anything. And yeah, so we went to go take pictures and shoot a bunch of stuff. And we came back to everyone almost having a heart attack. It was pretty funny. Yo, I remember Malenko looking at me like, you almost got me.
I remember I was thinking too, like, these Conan's guys, they're always late, you know, what the hell's wrong? The Latino guys just show up when they want. And I think we even had a chat the next week where I was like, guys, you can never do that again. Like, I don't know how things are in this world you came in before, but in our world, you're on time.
Yeah.
What were you thinking, Ortiz?
I felt like a little kid that day because we were scolded. I was like, damn, we messed up on our first day, of course. But like in true Conan fashion, we needed to be on Mexican time.
Right. He also spent the first 6 months trying to get in as your manager. I'm like, they don't have a manager. They're in the inner circle. Yeah, bro, but they need a manager too. Well, I'm the manager. Get out of here. It's interesting too, because it's something that I like to point out that we started this the very first episode of AEW, October 2nd, 2019. And the cool thing is, and we use this in our promos even, and said we never have ever had a crossword amongst us, bubbly bunch notwithstanding, when Ortiz headbutted Sammy to start the Manitoba Melee. Never hit each other with each other's moves, never had any there's the flim flam, the Jake still remembers it. That's the thing that's so cool about our faction is here we are 8 months in and still haven't lost any steam whatsoever, still heels, still got great chemistry and great cohesiveness. In other wrestling companies, if something lasts 8 weeks or 8 days, it's a big deal, but for us it's like we haven't even brushed the surface yet. It's a pretty rare thing in this business.
I think that's the exciting part, that I feel like there's still so much that we all have to offer and give and bust our ass with. So I'm excited to see where things go and how we all develop and looking forward to everything.
All right, you guys know that I travel every week for AEW and I'm on the road for Fozzy as well. But I don't worry about appliances or any of the stuff at my house breaking down while I'm gone, because we've got American Home Shield. And truthfully, I'm not a fix-it-myself guy anyways. So even if I was home and we had a leaky faucet or a faulty water heater, I'm not the one who's going to fix it. And unexpected breakdowns like that won't break your bank with American Home Shield warranty, because covered repairs and replacements are taken care of just like that. You just choose a plan that works for you and your budget. And then when a covered item in your home breaks, contact American Home Shield, and their trusted and qualified pros will fix or replace it based on the coverage in your agreement. Right now, you can get 20% off. Just go to ahs.com/Jericho and save that 20%. That's ahs.com/Jericho for 20% off any plan. American Home Shield, don't worry, be warranty. See ahs.com/contracts. For coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty which may be provided by the home or building manufacturer. What are some of your highlights from the last 8 months of being in the inner circle and the stuff that we've done? Sammy, anything come to mind for you?
Yeah, I mean, the bubbly bunch just recently, you know, that was like, I feel like we all got to work our creativity on that. That, or there was something that happened in like December. I don't know what it was. Maybe we're just all hanging out backstage or whatever, but I just felt like, wow, this is, you know, the beginning, we're all starting to get to know each other, but I don't know, maybe around there is where I felt like, you know, this is my group right here. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I felt like we all started to vibe off each other more.
I likened it the other day to a rock and roll band. When you put together a band, you don't really know what you're going to get. And that's where you have the great, it's all chemistry. You know, if they said tomorrow, okay, Sammy's out and, you know, Pac is in, it'd be like, we don't want that. Like, this is the band. This is the classic version of the band. And I see what you're saying, because I think that was it. If you look, October, November, December, there was some real cohesiveness going on. And I remember the one week that I missed when I was in Jackson, you guys had New Year's Eve in Jacksonville. I felt like I was missing out. Like, I got to be with the inner circle. I got to be with the guys, man, you know? How about you, Ortiz? What stands out over the last 8 months?
I mean, other than obviously the stadium stampede,
right?
That definitely is the peak at the moment. The cruise was great. Just being all together on the cruise and just vibing on the cruise. That was definitely one of the better moments. Although I barely saw Sammy at all on the cruise.
I was hobbling around on the cruise.
Yeah.
Me and Santana had a great night on the cruise. I don't remember anything about it, but you used it a promo. We solved all the world's problems and then forgot it all the next day.
All I know is that I ended up in my room at 8:30 in the morning, and I was like, thank God I woke up here.
Yeah. What stands up for you, Santana?
Honestly, it's been a lot, man. Like, we've been, you know, fortunate enough to do so much within the 8 months, but that day one, man, I still look at that picture when we're all standing in the ring, mm-hmm. and the Capital One Arena, and just that whole day, that whole experience, us coming together, and like you said, that first initial picture, we looked so badass.
Yeah.
And just the whole moment, like, having my family there, and, you know, the crowd was rocking, and just everyone, like, I remember looking out at the crowd when we were all standing there, and everybody's like, holy shit, like, this is a pretty badass group, you know?
Your family was there in Washington?
My whole family was there.
Including your father?
My father, funny, my father was supposed to be there, but he wasn't feeling good. So he gave my ticket to my grandmother's friend.
Gotcha. Well, you lost your father this year, and we all appreciate that and stand behind you on that. But that's cool that he heard about it and got to feel it and be a part of it. You know? Because that's the thing, too. Until you're on national TV, your parents don't really understand.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
100%. Now you're on TV, right? Now you're on TV. Like, it's real. How about you, Jake?
Or did Double or Nothing, Stampede, the Bubbly Bunch stuff that we did during the quarantine, your match versus Moxley at Revolution really stands out to me. Just like, I definitely feel like I've gotten to know each one of you on a different level. Like, I've had great conversations with each one of you. And it's like, it's just so cool because, like, honestly, every Wednesday night stands out to me because I get to come and work and be a part of this.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Like you said, we keep saying it, and it might sound a little bit schmaltzy to people listening, but this is really special because there is five guys from complete, and we didn't, like, Jake and I knew each other for years, hadn't seen each other for a while. Didn't know any of you guys. And here we are, you know, all with the same mindset. And we're going to talk about the Stadium Stampede. It's another reason why it works so well is we all have the same opinion on wrestling. We understand wrestling. We love it. We understand the fun side of it. We know how to play it funny, but we also know how to play it serious. And the difference between the two, it's a pretty rare thing. And none of us knew this about each other first starting out. So to me, the opening promo that we did, wherever that second week was, with the Spanish God, which was just on the fly, all that stuff was just made up. And then, of course, when they started chanting "We the People," and we shut that shit up, boom! I'll never forget that, man, because that was like, don't try and mess with us. We are serious about this shit.
Yeah,
you know. And I think everyone was just like, Jake. Tell the story that you just told the other day about when we sat in the front row that one time for Moxley versus Jeff Cobb, when the fan yelled at me.
So we bring in Jeff Cobb, and we come down to the first row for the beginning of the match. And this is back when we had audiences, but we will be back soon.
They'll be back soon.
And this fan was having a really great time at our show, a really, really great time at our show. And he started having too great of a time around us. And I've known Chris for a long time. This isn't the first time that I've seen this happen. he just said one thing that was, you know, inappropriate, offensive, disrespectful. And Chris turns to a guy and he says, "I'll knock you the hell out right now." And seriously, the kid just goes, "I'm sorry, Chris, I'm drunk and I'm just trying to have fun."
you gotta love it.
He goes, "I'm gonna sit here and heckle Jericho the whole time. I said, if you say one more word, I'm gonna knock your fucking teeth down your throat. You understand me? I'm so sorry, I'm drunk. Now meanwhile, I got Jake Hager right beside me. I think all of us are sitting up. That's the time when we're up in the one box, in the luxury box.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit too high, so they had a ladder to take us down. this might have been Moxley versus Santana, one of the two.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The ladder was there. Oh, that was. So Santana and Ortiz are in the ring,
yep,
working with Moxley, and me and Jake and Sammy are up top. This is a different time. And as soon as the moment happens, Dispenza gets the ladder ready. Sammy's over the top like a gazelle. Jake's like 9 feet tall. He's over the top. And I'm the loser that has to. Hold on, guys. Yeah. Oh, man. Another one that I really love, too. And once again, we can keep saying it till the cows come home, that if only there was people in the crowd. But when the night in Salt Lake City, the last night when we had fans, when we did that angle with Nick Jackson, where we slammed the garage door down on his head, like that was great stuff. And it's always 5-on-1. We've been very good. We did it with Moxie, too. 5-on-1, you know, 5-on-2, 5-on-3. And that's what good heels are. We never win, you know, 1-on-1. It's always when it's 5-on-1 or 5-on-2. And that, I think that's an understated thing about the Inner Circle, is like, we don't ever forget about the fact that we're heels and we're a pack. It's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, we got the numbers, so why wouldn't we use them, you know?
Well, yeah, you know, the Moxley, another great one was the weigh-in with Moxley. That was all cool. And
oh, yeah.
You know, well, the thing we did with Tyson this past week was a lot of fun. How was it for you guys with the whole Tyson situation?
And I was looking across the ring at Vitor and then Rashad Evans. I didn't even know he was going to be there. And I looked at him and I was like, "Yo, that's Rashad Evans?" I was like, "Oh, man." I was like, "I need a knife or something. I can't take these guys on." Legit. Jake is though. I'm about to step behind Jake and be like, "Yeah, get him, Jake." I was a little intimidated, I'm not going to lie.
At one point, I looked at Ortiz because I didn't know all these guys were coming out with Tyson.
Right.
Like, so at one point, they're all lined up in front of us, and I look at Ortiz, and I was like, "Yo, I need a clean pair of drawers." I think it's about that time.
Yeah.
It was on that level, because I was trying to feel them out and be like, "Hey, what's up?" And they were all trying to act like, "Hey, you know, it's about to go down." Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Well, Belfort said to me, because once again, like, Tyson's there and he's got this rogues gallery of murderers, and I'm not a UFC guy, so I once again, and I didn't know, and this is no disrespect, Henry Cejudo and Rashad Evans, I knew Vitor Belfort, but I thought, who's this big Russian guy? Apparently he's from Brazil. So we're talking to him and I'm trying to explain to these guys, and these guys all have dead eyes. They're just like looking at me, and there's no planning. There's no rehearsal. There's no script. They're going to do whatever they want. And Vitor's like, so I'm like, it's just going to be a big, I used the word riot, not knowing that 2 days later there really would be riots. But I said, I just want a big riot and a big mob scene. And Vitor's like, so I double leg somebody? I'm like, no. No one's doubling. I said, as a matter of fact, here's what I said. There's a big, tall, blonde kid with me. He's a big, tall, tough blonde kid. That's the guy that you go with, okay? And I told Jake that, and I went and introduced you to him. And he totally big leagued you.
He did. What the? Bro, I was ready after that. Let me just say, I had to remind Henry that, look, I was at Oklahoma when he came there for a recruiting trip.
Wow.
And then I wrestled against Rashad Evans in 2003. So, like, I had to let these guys know that, hey, we're right there.
I didn't know you worked with Rashad or you wrestled with Rashad. This is amateur wrestling.
Amateur wrestling.
Yeah.
So he was the 174-pounder and I was the heavyweight. So we didn't wrestle each other, but we went up to Michigan State, and it was his senior year.
So that's what I mean. So, okay, so Vitor is, we got Jacob. So these guys all come to the ring. And listen, we know we've got our little, once again, it's a classic inner circle. We're giving presents. We're goofy. Jake's poem was great, which, by the way, was not written by anybody but Jake. It was his idea. No approval necessary.
Amazing.
But then we turn it on a dime. What can I get for you, Chris? I want Mike Tyson's head on a platter. If there was a crowd there, oh. So when these guys come walking out, and once again, I talked it over with Mike. The original idea was for Mike to knock out Sammy, but that changed. These guys come out, and we had talked to four, and there's like eight guys. And I had added a couple of the young boys, Musa and Grimm. I wanted some of our guys in there. So if someone needs to take a punch, they go down. And there's a couple guys in there. There's the Gooch.
Gooch. Oh, baby.
Actor friend, bro, of Tyson's that I had never met.
You, Chris, you duffed his life. I saw that clip like 23 times.
So I'm standing face to face with Tyson. I got Jake over here, and there's, I think Sammy's there, and there's a lineup of guys. And right out of my, as you guys know, when the fight's going down, you're looking at the guy you're fighting with, but I'm looking here too. And I'm seeing this idiot. I can tell, okay, this guy looks crazy. Rashad looks crazy. Cahuta looks like, but this guy looks like a skinny, fat, dumpy idiot, right? So lo and behold, when Tyson starts taking off his shirt, so does this doughy, fat, lumpy idiot. And then when the push happened, of course, I was supposed to push Tyson first. He pushed me second. There's none of that. It's just Tyson going off. And if you see me go, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, I'm saying it to him like in between lines, hold on. So then when he takes off his shirt and pushes me, I push him back. Here comes the Gooch, and he comes at me. And I was like, okay, that's it. And dude, I grabbed his head straight at the table, and we're off and running. And you watch that back. All of us are just losing it. And the Gooch he's getting slapped around and smacked around. And Sammy's on a scooter, but now he's just running around.
It was the Vicks. The Vicks healed me.
That was the Vicks. I told you.
That's what my abuela says too, man. And Jake's just walking around just like Godzilla. But you know, it was a great segment because of how crazy it was, which is what we wanted. You don't have Iron Mike out there to do fancy, you know, choreographed spots. It's just one big riot, mob scene, lunacy. And we got a hell of a lot of coverage for it. And, you know, hopefully we can do more with him. And he's got a squad. We've got a squad. So hopefully that leads to more stuff.
Yeah, I thought you said it very well in that Sports Illustrated interview. Is like, you bring Mike Tyson in because you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
And we want that.
That's what makes it real.
Yeah.
And it was real because even like we're looking at the time, and there's a minute left to go. So I send the message down the line, bring Tyson back. And he's a pro. He comes out. The second time he came out, he looked even crazier than the first.
I thought he was coming that second time. I was like, oh, shit.
If he starts throwing hands in here, I'd be pulling the Gooch in front of me. But that's one of those things too, though, that like if your parents or your brothers or friends, I mean, everyone was commenting on that. Did you guys get a lot of feedback from the whole Tyson thing?
Man, my entire family, like I grew up watching boxing in my family because my grandpa, so like we grew up watching Tyson fights, Tyson Holyfield when he bit his ear.
Yeah.
I can still remember being with my grandpa to this day. And so all of them were just like, oh, you were in the ring with him. Holy cow.
Same. It was awesome. Like, everyone hit me up and.
Well, especially from being from New York, right?
Yeah. 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 And it was dope. Like same like Jake, I used to watch a lot of the old Tyson fights with my grandfather and stuff. He would always record them on VHS, and we would always watch them together. So it was pretty special for my family to witness that. It was cool.
Here's why you should be getting Factor meals. They're always delivered fresh, never frozen. They're chef crafted, dietitian approved, and delicious. They're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. And if you go to FactorMeals.com/TIJ50 and use my promo code TIJ50, you'll get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box. Plus, how good does this sound? Parmesan and sun-dried tomato chicken penne with roasted green beans. That's what I had last week before heading out to AEW. Factor makes eating delicious, quick, and easy, which is exactly what I need, especially on travel days. I ate it right out of the Factor packaging as well, so no cleanup afterwards. So you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need, and you can pause and reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. So head to factormeals.com/TIJ50 and use code TIJ50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's code TIJ50 at factormeals.com/TIJ50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. What were you guys thinking? Because I remember when we got there on Thursday, and originally they wanted us to tape Thursday night, and I kind of said we need Thursday just to kind of figure out what we want. I remember my analogy was, like, if we need an elephant, they might say, we can get you an elephant on Friday, but we can't get you one on Thursday. So we went in there on Thursday to kind of look around, and I remember just walking in the stadium and going, okay, it's a stadium stampede, and there's nothing in here but a giant empty field and a giant 80,000 seat empty stadium. Not a lot to work with at the start. What were you guys thinking when we first pitched that idea and when we kind of first got there? Sammy, what was your thoughts?
My first initial thought was, it's a stadium. You know, when will I ever get an opportunity to jump off a stadium? So I remember I texted Tony. I was like, hey, I will legit jump off this stadium. And I don't know if he thought I was kidding or what, because he didn't reply. And then I remember a couple of days later, I text him again, and I'm like, hey, I'll jump off the stadium. I'm serious. And then he hearted the message, and I'm like, okay, well, now he saw it at least.
That's a big Tony Khan text response, heart.
Yeah.
You send him a big, long text this long, you'll get a heart. when we got there one day, if you guys remember when we did the street fight in the concourse, so the idea was, so the world of AEW was within Daly's place. The street fight was to show the concourse area, kind of the connection, the bridge between the two, leading to the open mouth of the stadium, which is when Santana Ortiz returned. We got our big victory, Inner Circle behind us. What's going to happen next? So when we got there on Thursday, Sammy comes up to me and goes, you see, there's a big staircase that goes from the concourse up to the top of Daly's place. He's like, yeah, like, how about I fall off that staircase? I'm like, and what do you land on? He goes, well, you know, we'll put a pad there, but then we'll take the pad away and I'll just be like on the ground, on the floor, like on the concrete.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you think this is, WWE, where they throw you off a rooftop and you just get up the next day? No, you're not getting thrown off the staircase, falling 30 feet and landing on the cement and just getting up later. So no, and we're not doing anything in the concourse either. Now we're in this world. What were your thoughts on the concept of the match, Ortiz? Considering that it's never been done before and there's nothing to go back to and judge it against and get ideas from.
I was excited, anxious, and just, man, I remember just feeling like a kid in a candy store, especially when we started walking around the whole entire stadium and there was so much to play. But when they brought it together on Friday, I was just like, oh my God, this is going to be fun. Like, really fun. Mm-hmm. When they started bringing out all the gimmicks and all the stuff on the sidelines and just, yeah, man, I wanted to go back and do it again. I'm ready to do more. I feel like we didn't even touch the surface of what we could do in this stadium. It was, I was just anxious and overwhelmed at the same time. I was really excited.
And like I said, it's such a rare thing to be involved in the first ever of something in pro wrestling because everything's been done. And I was in the first Elimination Chamber. I was in the first Money in the Bank. So I know the feeling of like a stadium stampede. Like we said, we can't go back and look at a previous one, but yet we have this whole empty open canvas. So I remember we started talking with the guys and then somehow it turned out, okay, the one thing we knew, I love the fact that there was a ring in the middle of it, like for no apparent reason. So, because my original idea that Tony liked was there has to be some kind of rules to it. Like you can only pin somebody in your half of the stadium, like in your end zone or whatever. But then we realized it's just too far away, which is where Sammy getting Northern Light suplex all the way down the way was because at least there's one version of this. But we started talking and the only idea that I had was I wanted like this, because Cody had sent me a picture of an NFL entrance with the fire. And I was like, okay. And then we were originally, I shouldn't even say this, but we had an idea planned for the Blood and Guts. We were all going to wear similar outfits. We won't say what they are because we'll save that for later. But I thought, well, let's keep the same idea and we'll all wear football outfits. Great, we've got that. And then we'll do this big Game of Thrones kind of two armies just, and we'll do that. And then we could do that. And then after that, I had no ideas. So that's all I had.
I thought it was great because, like you said, you know, no ideas after that. And it just like all of us kind of came together and the ideas made it from there.
Right. Absolutely. And that's one thing I love about it. And I've said it quite a bit this week, is that we had 10 guys because the elite guys are the same. They have a certain mindset to what wrestling is. It's a little bit more left field than me, but we have that element too. And we showed that with the Bubbly Bunch, which we can talk about after. And just everything that we do, that first week when Cody did that piece where he's in the calm chamber or whatever, and DDP's talking, and I was watching like, you got to be careful with stuff like that, but Cody can get away with it because he's such a babyface. But as soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, okay, I got an idea. And we played that so straight, which is what we wanted. Jake wasn't talking, and I kissed Sammy in the cheek, and we got Soul Train Jones, and you got Santana Ortiz with all the stuff that you guys were saying. He was wrecked or whatever you said. It just worked so well. And that's when I was like, it reminded me when I started working with Kevin Owens. There was something about him. I thought, I think this guy's got the same idea as I do. And then we start working together. That starts to blossom. And we have that with all five of us. And so does the elite. So all 10 of us got together in a true collaboration. That was the beauty of it. No one came in with a piece of paper. Okay, we'll do this. This is, it was just kind of like, what do you guys want to do? Let's start talking. So Matt wanted to go to the goalpost. And I thought, well, I'll stick with Nick because we're the ones that slammed Nick's head into it. Sammy can come with me. And then you guys, Ortiz and Santana, ended up getting the task of going up to the swimming pool. How did that come about? Do we know the pool was there when we got there? Or how did that all come together?
Ortiz was the first one to point out the pool when we came in and we were looking around a little bit because we had gotten there like early and we were just looking around the field and stuff like that. And he pointed out the pool. And then I was like, yo, wouldn't it be funny if we try to recreate a similar version to the New Jack City scene in the beginning with hanging Matt upside down off of like a platform over the pool and stuff. And so, and then when Chris went up there to check it out, Dispenza, he was like, oh, it's only 3 feet. So we were like, all right, well, maybe that would be, and then Tony was like, no diving in the pool.
Yeah. That was like, listen, all the ideas that we had, the only thing that Tony ixnayed was pushing the wheelchair into the pool. That was the one thing he was adamant against.
Yeah.
But because I remember you said that you want to hang somebody over, the edge or whatever it may be. So
yeah.
But did you guys say, okay, we'll take the pool and grab Matt and Kenny? Or it's very organic how it happened. But did you actually say, okay, we'll go up here? Because I know that me and Sammy and the Bucks are going over that way. We'll see you guys later.
Yeah, because we automatically thought of Matt because he has the history with the Lake of Reincarnation. Mm-hmm. And that was the initial. I was like, oh, this would be a perfect opportunity for him to, come out of the pool as a different, a different gimmick and stuff. So
right.
I was like, we have to like do that. And Ortiz.
Just to play off of that, it definitely just came together with Matt in the broken gimmick. It just was a perfect fit, and it gave us an opportunity to show our comedic elements and just kind of have fun with it. And I just. It was everyone that I talked to, especially in my family, they found it hilarious. And that was the point that we wanted to get across.
I love that somebody said, unbeknownst to the inner circle, somebody transported like 100 gallons of water from the Lake of Reincarnation.
Yeah.
Matt's house in North Carolina and took it to Jacksonville. Uh-huh. It's funny, too. Here's another great story. The moment we walked in, as we know, Kenny's amazing. He's a very unique thinker. And we walked in the stadium. The stadium is huge. And right in the very little corner, top corner, there's a bell. If you walk into this view, the bell is like 0.0001% of what you're going to see. The moment we walked in the stadium for the first time, Kenny goes, "Oh, look, there's a bell up in the corner. Someone should get their bell rung." And I was like, how did you see that? Like, I'm like, where? He goes, where? This right there. Like, he walks in, the first thing he sees, not the goalpost, not, he sees this little wee bell in the corner, which leads to one of the great spots, which we'll talk about. But now, Jake, how did you end up being the guy going to the bar?
You know what? What really was cool about the Stampede is, like, it just kind of seemed like the different places that we all went to, it kind of was a cool way to fit our characters into it.
Yeah.
And so it made it more relatable, I feel like, for an audience. First of all, Ortiz, can you really swim? Is it, or was that?
So, what is it? Merry Men in Tights, the Robin Hood.
Men in Tights.
Yeah. Merry Men in Tights. So Little John, the scene where he's in a puddle and he's like, I can't swim. So that's where I got the idea from it. So yes, I can swim.
I don't know. I still haven't seen him swim.
I could make it to the edge of the pool. Let's just say that.
That was so great. When, just so you guys know, Ortiz is a kind of a quiet guy, but his comedic skills, selling in the ring, all that stuff you do, it's genius, man. Once again, not knowing you guys, the stuff that you sell, when you get your bell rung and the sell job on that still makes me laugh. It's so, with his wet hair and it's like this big moppy. Just genius stuff. So great stuff there. So let's go back to the bar fight with Jake.
So originally we thought the bar was going to be close to the pool. So I went up with Santana and Ortiz with those guys. But the bar ended up being in a different location. So it kind of like originally thought we were going to have some other people in there, but then it kind of just made sense that it was just the cowboy and the killer go in there. And just as like the ideas came about, it just really became evident that it was going to be him and I in there. And it really became cool, the stuff that we could do with it.
I remember it was like the only thing that popped in my head about that one, because I was off and I couldn't make it up to the pool, but it was in the area where the bar was. So I was just kind of hanging around listening and watching. And I was like, the one thing we have to do is right after the lunacy of Santana's locked in the ice chest and Ortiz gets his bell rung and there's Lake of Reincarnation and Kenny goes through the fence and all this crazy shit is going on, that it's like, and scene, quiet. Which leads to you walking down the hallway, you go sit down at the bar and like, you know, like just the way you guys did, you know, there's going to be a fight. Okay. Let me finish my drink. Well, give me one, two, drink and then fight. I just love the tone shift in that. That's when it became a real kind of mini movie to me, like a movie would be. It just wouldn't be fight. It was like, stop, recalibrate. And then you guys just went gangbusters and you guys got that whole fight scene in one take. There was no redos. It was great.
Amazing.
It was so good.
It really was incredible, because I was definitely stressing out all day about, like, you know, having it look the way you needed to fit the part. And I love how it came across and it looked very real. And I promise you, Chris, Inner Circle, that's the only bar fight I've ever lost.
I can vouch for that. The best part too is, and keep in mind too, and this is not a bad thing, but we hadn't seen Hangman for 2 months. We hadn't seen Nick and Matt in 2 months. You know, it was kind of a little bit weird, but you're dragging Hangman over the bar and they put tons of baby oil on the bar to get him off. And I was like, dude, you're going to slide right off that thing. Not exactly what happened. That baby oil didn't really help much, did it, Jake?
Man, like, I mean, that's one of the things we were so excited about. We're like, oh, we're going to do all the classic Western bar fight stuff. You know, the big uppercut into the pool table, the pool cue, and then, of course, the bar slide. And so once I got next to that, I was like, how the hell am I going to run his ass? Like, I don't know if you've seen it, like, just to carry him from the pool
yes.
to the bar. I had every inch of the Hangman in my hand on this side. So imagine what I had in my hands to get him across that bar. But, dude, I think about halfway through it, the baby oil kicked in, and it wasn't too bad. But I was definitely, like, chumming my feet.
You had a handful of Hangman is what you're saying?
It was a long noose, ladies.
All I kept thinking about was Roadhouse, the movie Roadhouse.
Yeah.
And when the hell is Terry Funk going to pop up and make a cameo?
They're already smashing all the liquor bottles. Get rid of the liquor bottles.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So let's go to, in my opinion, the star of the show was Sammy Guevara. And this all started in the street fight when Kenny had the idea of the golf cart chasing you. Because the original idea was the golf cart would knock me down, you'd come to me, they'd do a little turn and knock you down too. And then as you do, you go away and come back. It's like, no, Sammy's going to run. And of course, Sammy takes the most ridiculous bump of all time. And you have to tell us about that. But I mean, you know what you're doing, but that bump just looked fucking insane.
Well, I mean, if you're going to get hit by a golf cart, I was like, screw it. Let's just go all in with it and hope for the best. And hey, I think I can add stuntman to my resume now. Shit.
Well, you definitely can. They put that into the beginning of the show now.
I'm in it like three times. The golf cart, the one-wing angel, and then the 6:30, the Derby.
Did you give him the 6:30?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're one up on me because if when I was in the WWE, I was in everybody's Titantron entrance video getting beat up. I'm talking everybody. If Funaki is coming out, he's punching me in the face. It doesn't matter. So, you get a lot of fame and fortune from being a bump man, Sammy, I'll tell you that. So tell us about the whole horse thing. Like, because once again, we come back, the horse is out. We know that Hangman has this horse entrance. And dude, I'm sorry, you're getting chased by a horse. Now he can say, I'll slow it down. If the horse goes, I don't like this guy's jersey or his hair, I'm gonna run him down. Like, you were never close to the horse, but dude, that must have been kind of something interesting to think about.
Well, before it started chasing me, you know, we had to move the mascot because it was kind of like,
oh, it was freaking, guess, him. It was spooking him.
Yeah, because at first he didn't want to run, and so we had to move him. And all I thought was, okay, now the horse is pissed, and now he's really going to trample me. So I was making sure I was nowhere near. I was running for my life legit because I didn't know if the little jaguar mask got scared him or whatnot.
Did you have a backup plan if you got too close?
Maybe turn left or right. Right. That's what I advise anyone who's getting chased by a golf cart. Just turn left or right.
Or a horse. My daughters are 13 years old, and they watch the Stadium Stampede, and they're like, why doesn't he just zigzag? Just go this way. What's wrong with him?
It's the deer in the headlights. You know, you just don't know what to do. You just run.
Right, right, right. But that was such a great scene. And it was one of those things where we've built Sammy Guevara up to being this, like, this bump guy. But that's, like I said, give you a year, you'll probably turn on all of us and be the biggest babyface in the place. But it all started from all of this. Now, what ideas did you bring to the table? Because I think I was thinking of ideas for you. All of them were for you to get beat up in the end. But that's kind of what gets guys over in your position.
Yeah, the big finish, like originally I was just thinking of, you know, jumping off and doing something. And so that's kind of what my thought was like, okay, I could do something cool. But then that changed.
Jumping off onto the field?
Jumping off onto the field, onto that big wooden box thing they built.
Right.
But yeah, that changed not in so much in my favor. You know, I was like, I'm going to jump off and do something cool. And then it changed to, you know, what if we do something cool to you?
To, like, you, right, right.
Oh,
right.
No.
Well, it was cooler. Right?
It was cool looking back.
My favorite part of the whole thing, and I'll go through the thing I did with Nick in a second, but when I do the thing with Nick, and when I did the thing where I hit him with the yard marker and I said, that'll move the chains, that's from a Saturday Night Live skit that Andy Samberg used to do. And because his mindset is that repetition is laughter in comedy, no matter how stupid it is. So he's a sportscaster. It's like, and then he takes a field goal and runs down the yards. That'll move the chains. And then the next play, he does a 3-yard pass. That'll move the chains. And I just always remember that. So that's where that'll move the chains came from. And then I had the dumb idea putting the witch hat on again and then turning around, getting super kicked. So I get super kicked into the field goal practice net. And I just take just a total fallback because I think the net's going to be stronger than this, but it didn't support me. And also when I fell back, I landed right on one of the bars and I felt this like washing warm sensation all over my rib. And I never get hurt. And this fucking thing almost killed me. I couldn't even get up. I thought I broke my rib from the witch hat spot. And it's
it looked nasty watching it.
But how does it even happen?
Oh, watching it live, I remember that bump specifically. And I like, it made me, you know, pop out loud because it was such a like remarkable bump just the way you landed.
It wasn't supposed to be that remarkable.
And you almost took out your whole tent, your whole blue tent that you and Aubrey went in.
The mascot was Nick Jackson's idea. We should get a mascot and you can hit it. So we tried to get one because we had a lady from the stadium. Because here's another thing that I'm sure you guys know, but for people that don't know, we weren't just dealing with AEW rules. We were dealing with the city of Jacksonville because they own the stadium. The Cons lease it. And we're also dealing with the NFL. So any kind of things that we had an NFL kind of rule watcher and we had a city rule watcher. So all of those people were saying, you can't do this. So that you couldn't hit the mascot. But then they brought the mascot in and Tony said, it's cool. And the guy was into it. And his name was Alex. And I said, Alex, I got this move where I basically give you an elbow to the face. I said, it's not going to hurt you. And he goes, what would put my helmet on or my mask on, my head on? So he puts this giant head on. And the thing is so big. I tattooed him as hard as I could. I bet you didn't even feel it because there's much padding, right? And then the replay was Tony's idea. And Tony must have asked me 100 times, are you doing the replay call? Are you doing the challenge call? And I don't know football. I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. I had to Google challenge call and see when there's a bad play, the coach has the right to throw the red flag to get a replay. I didn't know that. So we did that. And Tony asked, I said, we better make this good because this is the one thing that Tony wants to see. And as Jake knows, as long as you make your boss happy with the things that he wants, you can get away with whatever else you want to do. So then the last one was the sprint up the stands by Nick Jackson and running down. And the reason why I wanted him to do it, because he was into it, but he's like, oh, it's so long. I'll just go halfway. I said, no, you got to go all the way. Why? Because it's never been done before. We've never seen this. We've never seen a guy run all the way up the steps, run all the way. And you know, you run down the stairs, he's got to watch. If we cut it to make look. And when he jumped off that ramp to hit me on the table, when you get hit on a table, it breaks. That's your fall. This table was set up in sand. So when he hit me, the table, I just went. So it's just like, oh. And with my already messed up ribs from the football thing. Anyways, that was a great part. Take Jericho, put the line over top of me with spray paint. And Hangman had to, you can see, gently lifts it up over my ball bag so he doesn't take my balls out and rightly puts it over my face so then I'm gone. So going back to Sammy, favorite scene of the whole movie. Sammy's crawling after taking, 100 yards of Northern Lights, passes out until the sprinklers go off. What a great scene.
A sprinkler hurts when it hits your face that close. It's not too good.
I was going to say, I thought you were blinded.
But the best was that you kept playing into it. Like the sprinkler went off in your face and then you would turn and the other one would slap you in the face and then the other one would slap. So it was perfectly done.
But once again, great, great comedic timing because, that was one take. And we found out, so anybody that's an NFL fan, where are the sprinklers? They're on the 34-yard line, the 50, the 34, and on both end zone lines. And the sprinklers are spaced every 60 feet across the field. And you could just find there's just a little wee hole where the sprinkler head comes out of.
Which was almost impossible to find because we just had a horse run on the field. So there was all these tiny little holes everywhere.
Well, and not to mention, this is getting late. We filmed it from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m., or 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And then we had about a 60-minute period when it was a torrential downpour. And you were done yours already, Jake, and Santana Ortiz were done. You guys might have even been gone at that point in time. But me and Sammy and Nick and Candy, we had to do this whole extra thing. And it was getting close because at 4 a.m. when the rain went away, they said the sun is coming up in an hour and the fire marshal's getting pissed for all the explosives at the end. So we were really under the wire at that point.
Yeah, and with the rain, that what people don't know is the thing with me and Kenny, we're standing up there, but that whole platform was just soaked wet.
Wow.
And so, hats off to Kenny, because he has me above his head, and we're walking to the edge, and all I thought is, right here, this is where he's going to slip, and this is where the very last move, and this is where something's going to go wrong.
You know, it's funny, because we tried to dry off all those surfaces. It was the same with Nick Jackson running down the steps, then jumping up on the railing.
Yeah.
We tried to keep it as dry as you can, but obviously when there was just been, and this was not just a little bit of rain, it was a torrential rain.
Yeah, I have a video of just behind the scenes video of just pouring down rain. And there was a huge puddle too on top of that wooden platform they built that me and Kenny went through. So when we finally went through it, just all this water hit us. All this cold, cold water hit us. Yeah.
What a feeling that must have been, though.
It was like a feeling of I'm alive and also now I'm cold. But more happy I'm alive.
But so many great moments, like we said, because of all that. And I think people, when they see, we turned that in at 5 a.m. and basically had 3 hours to edit it. So what we saw actually on the actual pay-per-view was the edit that none of us had seen. I had worked with them earlier in the day to kind of help with the edit and tighten some stuff up. But that was it. I was the only one of the 10 of us that kind of saw the second last cut. The last cut was the one that we saw. So just a great shout out to our technical team for all of that stuff, for sure.
And you know what the worst part? I took all these moves from everybody, very beat up the next day. But the worst part was jumping up onto the platform me and Kenny went off of. My shin hit the little corner of it.
Right.
Yeah, my shin hit it, and then the next morning I woke up and it was all blown up, big balloon.
You sent me a picture. It was gross.
Yeah, we all saw it in our little inner circle text group of all the stuff you did. My favorite part too is when you finally. Oh, I was going to say this when the sprinklers are hitting you and wake you up. My idea was there's a movie by my friend Eli Roth called Cabin Fever. It's a great horror movie. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it or not. And at the very end, there's this asshole. He's been he distanced himself from his friends. It's actually a virus that's going around, that's killing all of his friends. And he finally put a kerchief over his face like this. And he's like, "Get away from you guys! I'm leaving." And at the end, everything's done, everyone's dead, and it's kind of the last thing is he comes out of the forest and he's like, "I did it! I did it! I'm alive! I did it! I made it! I made it!" And then all these cops that think he's infected just shoot him.
Oh, man.
So that's what I wanted to show. We had no internet. I was going to show you the scene, Sam, but you nailed it. I'm the last man standing. I did it. And then the motor comes on. And you're just like, oh, shit.
And then just PTSD flashbacks. Not again.
But then once again, you're taking off running with these idiots behind you, and you jump that fence like a gazelle. It's straight over the top.
Yeah, didn't get hurt jumping that fence, then jumping this other one that's 4 feet,
but once again, overall, I mean, we knew when, and like I said, I'm not sure when you guys split, but they showed a rough cut of the edit during the rainstorm, and I think it was right after Jake's bar scene, and that's when all of us watching were like, this is something really special. I remember that feeling, oh my gosh, this is genius. When did you guys start catching on that it was going to be as cool as it was, Santana?
I didn't know it was being edited as we were going. So when we were all sitting in by ringside watching on the monitors, I remember looking at Ortiz and wow, we really pulled this off. It couldn't have been done any better. And I knew that once it aired, everyone's phone and everybody was just going to be bugging out over it. Because the fact that we all 10 of us had so much input and so many ideas, and how each and every idea came across perfectly, and everyone executed their stuff so good. I was going to pack my bag, and I remember packing my bag and thinking yo, this is definitely going to be something special. I was excited for it to drop already, just to see the reaction it got.
How about you, Ortiz?
Yeah, same way. I was thinking this is either going to go really good or really bad. And then the final product, when I finally saw it and we were all sitting down watching it, I was just like, this is really cool. And just seeing all the other people's reaction live, I felt like I was watching a movie. Like, we were all sitting down, mm-hmm. and it was awesome just to see people's reaction, because usually we're in a match, we're wrestling, and yeah, we feel a reaction and we can see certain people's facial expressions, but to kind of sit back and kind of see how people are reacting to it, and it was just awesome. And then when we saw that rough cut, it was just, yeah, I had the same feeling. I was like, yeah, man, this is going to be special. And then seeing the final product, couldn't be more happy with it. I mean, of course, we can go back and nitpick certain things and maybe think we could have did things better. But overall, I loved it. It was great.
But you, Jake, you're on mute. Unmute. Unmute your mic.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Cut that out. All right. Honestly, after your guys' street fight with Kenny and Matt, it really opened my eyes to this thing that we had found. And we had this conversation with Tony about how we created the Stampede because of the situation we were in, and honestly, the opportunity that it presented. And it really, like, the next day after it opened my eyes, like, oh my gosh, we can do all this stuff and it can work. I was like, man, this could be amazing. And then that first day, that Thursday, when we're all out there with our shirts off on the field and just looking at everything we had and just going over ideas, it just felt like everybody was on the same page and we're very excited.
Yeah, it really was, kind of, like I said, kind of the perfect example of what true wrestling is. And that's why when people are, like, the few that are bearing this match, it's like, how could you not understand the entertainment value of this match, right? I mean, is it not like, okay, it's not Funk versus Briscoe, but it's not supposed to be. It's the Stadium mm-hmm. Stampede, mm-hmm. right? It's not, and that's why Nick and I even did a headlock. It's like, well, if anybody's pissed off, we'll just do a tackle drop-down spot. That'll shut them up.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
What did you think, Sammy? When did you think it was going to be as good, as classic as it was?
Yeah, when we saw the rough edit, that I knew it was going to be something special. And I remember texting my girl when it was all over, like, telling her to make sure she watches the pay-per-view to watch the match. And I told her, I was like, this match is it's about to be very talked about. Like,
yeah,
you know, whatever match you end up watching on the show, make sure you watch this one, because a lot of people are about to talk about this.
And how cool are those pics with the inner circle with the football uniforms, man. On, man?
Man.
Hey, we stole the show. We may have not won, you know, the match, but we won best dressed.
That was Sammy's original ideas for the yeah. trophy. I said participation trophies are better because that's what they give the kids now. But he won best dressed. But the cool thing about that was, so I text QT Marshall, and said we want to do football uniforms. And he said, okay, cool. So he sent back. Now, what I did not know, not being a huge football fan, is that the numbers are on the front of a football jersey and on the back. And I said, well, can we make it kind of a combination of a hockey jersey and a football jersey where our logo is on the front and the numbers on the back? No problem. Dude, that guy had a picture, a design back to me within like a day and a half, like that. And a day and a half after that, he sends me a picture of him wearing one of the UFOs. Yeah. That's how on it they were. Numbers wise, 27. My dad was number 27 for 10 years in the NHL. Sammy, 93, because that's the year he was born. Jeez, that's creative.
Very creative there.
Would you guys, because I asked you guys, what numbers did you want? And Santana Ortiz?
That was a throwback to LAX, 5150.
Yeah. 5150. Great Van Halen album title. And Jake?
72 was my high school number that I got my scholarship to Oklahoma wearing. So.
All right. That's cool.
I thought it was very cool that 72 was opposite of 27. So I was like,
You're the yin to my yang, Jake.
Yep. Yep. Oh, I had a tear right there, guys.
It's funny, too, putting on those pants. Like, I didn't even wear knee pads because I did not know that football bottoms have those pads built in. That's the first football uniform I've ever worn in my life. It felt so cool.
I've never worn one. Yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't one of those guys to play. So, yeah, I didn't have to wear my knee pads at all, for sure.
I think my wrestling gear is going to be those pants from now on, because, like, why wouldn't you have pads like that?
How comfortable were they, too, right?
They made my ass look great.
I almost couldn't fit mine on. I was like, Is this, are they ribbing me? Oh, like I legit, I was in the hotel room trying to.
They were too small?
Yeah, I was like, they're definitely ribbing me with these pants. And then Ortiz was like, no, you just got to break them in. Like literally, they're gonna rip. Yeah. And I was like, well, I guess. And then he was right. They ripped and that's how I put them on.
I think I got Hager's shirt because my shirt went down to like past my waist, almost to my thighs. And I looked at the rest of you guys, and the rest of you guys looked cool. I was trying to tuck mine in, and it looked like I was wearing like a mini skirt.
He had the abuela gown on, the nightgown.
My abuela told me so.
The whole thing, man, was the special part about the whole Stadium Stampede thing was like my dad was the biggest football fan like I've ever known.
Yeah.
And this being presented to us and this whole idea coming about was almost like a sign that he's around, like, yo, this is so something he would have thought of and enjoyed and
yeah,
and been so hype about. So like, what are the odds that this comes about and you know, me thinking about him and just a coincidence alone. And I was just like, yo, I remember after we filmed it and going back to the hotel and like, I was like, damn, yo, like, You got one.
Yeah.
You know,
it's pretty cool. Cause once again, I never took it that way at first that we'll just incorporate football stuff, but it just organically started to happen. And I think that's another reason why I loved it is like, even on Thursday, we didn't know what to expect on Friday when we filmed it. But once we started going, it was like, everyone was just kind of on the same page of it. And it's actually pretty funny. Cause like I said, we finished at 5:10 or something, and the fire marshal was leaving at 5:15. I'm done.
Yeah.
Because if you look, we had the cheerleaders, we had the drum line, but they started dropping off like flies. Because at the end, the idea would be when the elite wins, the cheerleaders would think they were gone. They said we out of here. So we finished at 5:10, and that's when I had the white spray paint all over my face and down my shirt. I'm like, I'm not gonna wash it off. I don't know if I can wash it off or worry about it later. So I walk into the hotel at about 5:30, 6 in the morning. And there's a group of pilots and stewardesses waiting to go to the airport. And here comes this lunatic. My eyes are beet red. My hair is all over the place. I got half white face. I got a dented baseball bat in my hand and a football uniform with a white line. And I just look at everybody. I go, it's been a rough night, guys.
The best is that we incorporated baseball, hockey, fighting,
everything,
everything,
soccer, NFL, Game of Thrones, yeah. war, dance. You know, it was definitely a little bit of everything to anybody. And that's what I say, like, even with this Mike Tyson thing, if we continue on, and hopefully we can, wrestling is all shapes and all sizes. And there's always a way to make it work. You could do pure comedy to a freaking hardcore death match and everything in between. And I think our, I don't even want to say match, our segment, our piece, our
short film.
Yeah, short film. That's our short film. Had all those things. And Tony's like, we gotta submit it for an Emmy. We're going to win an Emmy for this. You know, excited. We're going to win an Emmy. We're going to win an Emmy. last question for you guys. It's been so much fun. We could do this all night. But by the way, my favorite thing is when Jake had his phone on silent when he muted his mic and you just see him yelling at everybody. He's like, and Ortiz has showed us his whole apartment as well. He's walked everywhere.
I had to move around to get better reception. I have really bad Wi-Fi reception. So I'm like, can you hear me now? I'm moving it around.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part of the Stadium Stampede? Whether you were involved or whether you weren't involved, what stands up for you the most? And I'll go first. For me, the bar fight was amazing. Sammy, I did it. Turn around to the car. And then Ortiz's bell selling was just so genius. One of my favorite things I've ever seen in my life. I loved it. Great, great, great stuff. How about you, Sammy?
Them dunking Matt Hardy and him coming as different versions of himself.
Yes.
And then the underwater camera of him doing the Hardy Boys thing and the V1.
And when they see the Matt fact, when Santana Ortiz see the Matt fact on the side, they're reading.
Yes.
I couldn't figure out what you were looking at in the rough cut. I'm like, what are they doing? And then, oh, they put the Matt fact there.
No, that was definitely my favorite part of the whole thing. Cause you know, because I remember we watched the rough edit and they did the Hardy Boys thing, and then watching it live on the pay-per-view, I didn't realize he did it again underwater, did the V1 thing. And yeah, so it popped me twice.
Who do you think, Santana?
Oh man, so many good moments. Damn, I love the spray paint deal over that Hangman got you with.
Yeah,
freaking the bar fight was amazing. Sammy dying in every scene was amazing. like I said, 1 week we're gonna just wheel you out in a body cast. But honestly, like overall, I feel like everyone's camaraderie just with the willingness to make this work and the same mindset. And that was my favorite part of everything. The fact that we were all on the same page and all willing and giving and wanting to not just build each other to build this whole match. And that was,
What do you think, Angel?
For me, definitely was the bar scene. I felt like I was watching a Jackie Chan movie.
Yeah.
Adam Page was a ninja. And Jake was like that big guy that Jackie Chan has to take out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it took so much work to finally take him out. And it was, I think they capped it off perfect with the milk and the whiskey at the end. I think the bar scene, it could have stand alone on its own. That's
still the show.
For sure.
The one thing with the bar scene, I thought it was going to be a gimmicked pool table that he slammed Hangman on.
Oh.
And then just watching it like thud. Rough. Oh, oh shit.
We would have definitely had to break after that one. That would have been like, yo.
Oh, you heard all the air exit his body as soon as.
No, they made you look like Andre the Giant. Like, I just thought that was so cool. It was like this ultimate big heel. And once again, we don't have to go into it, but in the background, I'm like thinking, how could WWE mess up on this guy? But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. But that was like the smashing of the bottles, and it was great, man. What a great scene. How about you, Jake? What was your favorite?
Well, honestly, like the way you guys talk about it is always my favorite. I love the praise from the boys because that really means the most to us out here doing it. Dude, the Santana Ortiz hop in the water thing, like, come on, you're being a pendejo. I had to find out what a pendejo was. Guys, I really thought it was Bendejo with a B, so there's a little inside. But I thought that was great. Chris, the super kick into the net, I really laughed out loud. And then Aubrey, it's all good. And then the stuff with the replay tent, you know, that kind of like tied everything together that you've been doing with her for the last 8 months as well.
Right.
And then Sammy, dude, honestly, Sammy was the star of the show. Every bump he takes, you become a bigger star. I feel like it. And I'm going to have to start taking these bumps because I'm getting a little jealous.
Please, let's trade. Let's trade one of these weeks. I don't mind.
Sammy always says that. And then the following week, he's just getting murdered again. He always says that. He's like, take the weight off my shoulders. No problem.
He volunteers for it.
He was so sad that he wasn't getting knocked out by Mike Tyson this week.
I know. I wanted it.
I even brought him in the room with Tyson just so Tyson would know which guy he was supposed to hit. But Sam was standing right by me as I was talking to Mike, and I told Sam, I said, get back in the corner. Go back.
I'm like, all right. Goodbye.
I'm the consigliere here. I got to figure it out. Once again, guys, a great example of what wrestling is all about. Great teamwork. And when I say this, I said it from the moment we finished. One of the best things, one of my favorite things I've been involved in 30 years, and that involves thousands and thousands and thousands of things. So, and thank you so much for doing this. This was a lot of fun, man. This is like kind of the new version of the Bubbly Bunch. We should just do this every week just to hang out and see what's going on.
Hey, there we go. New podcast show.
There you go, the flim flam.
Hell yeah.
Quickly before we go, the Bubbly Bunch was Santana's original idea for us five of us to do something, which then kind of morphed into all these things that we did. The flim flam was because my niece has been over at my house, and I have 13-year-old daughters, two of them, and all they're doing is TikToks. And they made me do the TikTok, and I was like, wow, we should do a TikTok. We can't call it a TikTok. Let's just call it a flim flam. Because I had said something on commentary about some fancy flim flam. So when we're putting together the dance for the flim flam, I got two Puerto Ricans. I got another, whatever, Sammy's Cuban, whatever the hell you are.
Cuban.
I got a Canadian, and I got a big giant, killer. So this dance move it better be fairly simple. So I sent it, and it was like this, and like this. And like, dude, that was so great having you guys send in your shit. And Jake's like, Jake, man, you sent me three takes. And all of them were amazing.
I got a lot of gifts, Chris, but dancing ain't one of them.
And nor should it be. Nor should it be. We don't need a 6'6" MMA fighter wrestler dancing. That was half the fun of it. So, and I was so into it. I'm like, this is going to be huge. I trademarked Flim Flam. I'm like, this is going to be the biggest thing ever. And like, you know, it wasn't. But it was fun. Actually, TNT did do your own Flim Flam. And then they would produce it afterwards with the same music. And they had to stop after 300 because so many people were sending them in. So we did have quite a reaction to that. So the Flim Flam. Good stuff, guys. Stuff that never would have happened if there was no pandemic. We're taking advantage of it and staying creative, right? So, All right, boys. Well, thank you so much for joining me. And we'll see you in a week for another fun-filled edition of the Inner Circle's Dynamite. What a great time.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. Jake's got to take the bumps for me.
Damn it, you're still taking the bumps.
And Jake, go back to yelling and screaming at whatever you're screaming at.
You guys were too loud.
Give me more whiskey. Cheers, guys. Stay safe. Love you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having us, man.
Thank you, Chris. Cheers. Thank you.
Peace.